Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Any intros for Paul Mescal? I can't even remember any word of dialogue from normal people. Except that one that's going around on TikTok at the minute. That's actually kind of driving me insane. I hate, like...
Oh, it's like, would you...
No, he's like...
You saw me in, or something.
He's like, oh, you look... He's like, you look really well. And she's like... It's just one of the... Because I actually thought Daisy Edgar-Jones nails their... Like, pretty much... I think their accent is pretty decent in normal people, right? But in this particular clip, it's just, like, really irritating. He's like... You look well. And she's like, I know, classic me goes to college and gets pretty. It's, oh, it's like chalk. Yeah. Oh, nails on a chalkboard. It's.
What about.
And then he's like, you're always pretty, or. Sorry, go on.
What about. This popped into my head earlier and I was on the toilet and I was like, I can't say this, but here we go. Paul M. Da, 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 instead
no,
of da-dum, da-dum.
No.
Okay.
I'm quitting this. I can't work under these conditions. You're listening to Bandwagons. Talking about
things that other people are talking about. It would have worked if I'd known any other of the words in that song.
Well, you don't need to know any other words in the song in Padam, but it's just... The fact that you had to explain it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We should have done the Denny's ad.
Ballyhonus.
You know, he doesn't just go sausages.
Ballyhonus.
Welcome back to Bandwagons. Thanks so much for being here.
Do you know what I learned recently, just off the back of Ballyhonus? That Husqvarna isn't a place in Ireland.
Where the fuck is Husqvarna? And
it's
not.
Do you know, like, it's like Husqvarna. It's like a fucking construction brand or something. And it's like, come and see our latest range of Husqvarna in stores now. And I just, in my head, I was like, that's like somewhere in Ireland, but it's not. Like, it's
like a brand.
It's a brand of like building equipment or something. Let me see. Husqvarna.
I'm not familiar with that because I wouldn't be hugely familiar with the construction industry. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, it sounds like an Irish town, but it's not.
Okay. Interesting.
Some people will understand, but that's fine.
All of the builders that listen to us. Imagine walking past a building site and you heard them listen to us. You'd be like, that building is going to be...
It's fucked.
That build, they may as well be making it like... That may as well be fucking... What's the fairy story and the houses are all built with different things? Three pigs, three little pigs.
The fairy story?
No, you know, like the
Goldilocks.
Fairy tale. No, you know the fairy tale and it's...
It is. Oh, no, it's...
No, there's some
the
animal building houses... Yeah, and one of them's made of hay, and one of them's made of bricks.
And he puffs,
and he blows the house down.
Yeah.
That's probably the construction company
Which pig is listening to Bandwagons?
Those builders are... I don't know, this has gone so badly off the rails. Anyway, Bandwagons, you're welcome back. If you want to follow us on social media, it's Bandwagons podcast. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You wanted to talk about Big Brother, but I've actually missed a couple of episodes in between... And I missed last night's episode because I was at the Eras tour in the cinema, which I will talk about in a sec.
Oh yeah.
But let's talk about Big Brother. Have you been consistently watching it? Like, you're enjoying it, are you?
I watched it up until eviction night, and then I watched half of last night's episode, and I
watched the eviction. I did watch the eviction.
I don't think there was an episode in between. I think that's like gone now. I think
there's no episodes on Saturdays. No.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't realize that. So I haven't missed. I've only really missed like the second half of last night's episode, which I don't think much happened, and that's why I went to bed, because the preview was giving me nooch, and I was like, I will be so mad if I stay up and watch this and nothing dramatic happens.
Yeah. Fair.
I think they're just all like hugging and crying and stuff.
I'm gonna shout out someone if anyone's kind of looking for kind of funny. Kind of recaps, or like, you know, if you like watching people talking about it on stories, Sarah Griffsky, Sarah Marie Griff, she's kind of back watching it, and I was able to glean kind of what was happening last night from watching her stories. Kerry is apparently kind of a closet Tory, which is kind of sad for me. She's giving, which I don't know, because obviously it was her and Fareed up for eviction, but I hadn't really watched a huge amount in between. Because I'd been out and stuff, I'd been seeing bits and bobs, and I was talking about it with Padraig, friend of the podcast, and I was like, no, like, I think Fareeda needs to go, just like, seems, I don't know, some of the shit she was going out with. But then when you were watching the nominations and seeing like Kerry, like, very tactically crying, like really, really tactically crying about evictions, I just feel like she was able to pull the wool over people's eyes for a little bit longer. But I'd say
She's next
out. Like, she has to be. What do you think?
She is the absolute epitome of, like, the office Karen that just, like, sits at her desk, like, going, like, just whinging, does fuck all work, and is, like, all she wants to do is bitch all day and, like, make a cup of tea and biscuits and, like, what are you having for your lunch, kind of. But, like, in the most annoying way possible, she gives off those vibes so strongly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she needs to go, and it's, like, I just don't like her. Sorry, my phone's buzzing. She's
been in those alliances with all the young people, and now it's like, and someone said it on the Late and Live show that it was like, she's going to go after Olivia next or whatever. And you can just, I don't know, she just doesn't, all the alliances she's building, I think it's tactical more than like any semblance of friendship, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think even the way, look, I think Fareed had her own issues as well, right? But the way...
Fareed was on Planet Cuckoo Land, like, she was not in the room.
She even spoke with Fareed about when Fareed was trying to talk to her about TikTok and like how well she's doing on social media, and like how judgmental Kerry was of that, and how like incredulous she felt about hearing that. It was not good.
Even when Hallie was coming out in one of the earlier episodes, like, they kept cutting to Kerry's face when Hallie was describing like her transition and all, and the faces she was making were like not matching up with the words she was saying, and it, like, something about it doesn't sit right with me. And now she's like clung to Hallie, because Hallie in my eyes is like one of the favorites. I don't know if she actually is, but she's one of my favorites.
No, I think she is.
Yinran.
Yeah.
Like, Yinran and Hallie, I'm just like,
Yinran.
Just people, like, and if you were smart about it, you would kind of form alliances with them. If you wanted the public to back you, you'd probably go for those kind of people. So I don't fully trust her, because she was kind of making like eyes and all at like things that I just, and now the whole, like, last night they were talking about the wages in the UK and stuff, and the prime ministers and all, and one of the lads was like, the average salary in the UK is 20 grand, like 80% of the population around 20 grand. And she was like, what? No. And she was like, I never knew that. And she was like, oh, like, well, I'm so lucky I'm in the higher tax bracket and all this. And it was like, read the room, Kerry. Like, and she was just like, well, I never knew that. And it's like, she just like, slowly things are starting to slip with her a bit. Who do you like?
I like Yinran. I like Jordan.
I love Yinran. Yes, Jordan. Jordan and your man are like two cats, Mark says. It's like they just like slink around. They're like cats from like Alice in Wonderland or something. They just like slink around, lying down, like talk really slowly and like make observations about what's going on. And I just love it. I could watch them.
I like Zach as well. I saw a headline today. I'm going to look it up now to see if there's actually any truth in it. But I saw a headline that they're on about bringing back like past contestants to shake up.
Yeah.
Like the current ones. I don't know who that means. And I'm kind of like, does that mean they're already like kind of shit in the bed a bit about how the series is going. I don't know. Maybe. Big Brother Ross is bringing back former housemates in bid to shake up new series.
I did find last night they had like nothing going on.
Yeah, so despite the buzz about the show's revival, viewing figures have dramatically fallen from 2.6 million to 800,000 since the new season launch, which I'm kind of like, I don't know, like, of course that many people were going to tune in to with the first episode back. You know what I mean? I feel like it's hard to, you're going to, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, so, okay, actually, I don't know how true this is because it's coming from former Celebrity Big Brother star Nicola McLean. Producers are planning to boost ratings by bringing back some former fan favourite contestants. I've heard there's a grapevine that they might be bringing in like previous contestants, but from the civilian series, so it won't be celebs. So like Chanel Hayes, Aisling Horgan-Wallace, they're not going to bring in Aisling, sorry. Pete Bennett, Pete won't do it. They're all sort of that category. I haven't heard exactly who it will be, but I've just heard that. I think it's a very diverse cast. I think it's definitely moved to the times. You've got some strong characters in there. I'm enjoying it. I'm glad it's back. Like that's, I'm going to call bullshit on that now, immediate mo. That's why it's important to read news articles beyond the headlines, girls.
Yeah. It would be good, but yeah, I do think they need, like it's, they need a bit more. I think they're very careful in what they're like kind of making them do and like probably their welfare of the contestants a bit more. But like, why are they taking the day off? They never used to take, they used to like, is that for like
I think they did take Saturday. I think they did take Saturdays back in the day. Maybe not every year, but I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I thought we used to see like the whole them getting ready for the eviction night and like the drama of them sitting down and then after the person, the aftermath after the person left and stuff. Like, I thought that was always aired.
Well, that was all Sunday night. Which was yesterday, wasn't it?
But then when are we missing the day?
Maybe there wasn't. Someone, if I'm wrong about that, someone DM us, but I'm 90% sure. Or it might be an ITV thing because obviously it's the same at Love Island. They don't go all the way through. You would need a break. Like, that's very intensive filming. And especially when they already have the live feed as well.
Yeah. I understand about Love Island, but like I don't understand where in Big Brother they could fill in the gaps of a day. Like it's kind of like, you know, they can't like leave out a whole day and then just like pick it up. As if
especially because we were already technically a day behind because the eviction wasn't filmed live, or not the eviction, the first episode.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What do you think of AJ and Will?
AJ,
you didn't watch the eviction. I was like, the host. Sorry, the host.
I was on the fence. You said they don't need to, and they absolutely do not need to. Will, I found very nervous the first day, and I just couldn't warm to. I was like, okay, calm down.
He's so hot, though. I need him. You're trying too hard. But he just looks him in ways that so are concerning familiar. To
like, he looks so like five other male presenters, like, mashed together. You know, he is the absolute bop of Joel Dommett, and like, is it Greg James? Or like, there's like loads of them that all kind of literally have the same head.
Yeah.
And that's
British
where I
TV
was like,
presenter head.
Yeah. I loved AJ the first night, and then the eviction, she was just, I just kind of like, was like, all right. I don't think they're bad, but I just thought it's not that they're not Davina or Emma. Like,
yeah. The reason they need to, I understand now, is because they don't have a different presenter for Late in Life. So they need to split up because they don't.
Okay.
They don't both do Late in Life every night. Some nights it'll be the two of them. Some nights it'll just be AJ. Sometimes it'll just be Will. So it's like, okay, from that perspective, it makes sense. But I feel like on eviction,
AJ the main show and Will the after show or something, or is it just like for flexibility?
I don't know. I think maybe it's flexibility. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's a lot for one person to do either.
Yeah. Eras Tour. I went. Yes. Okay,
it's only on weekends, is it? Is it only on weekends or maybe
I don't think so. So
is only doing it Friday to Sunday.
Oh, right. That's annoying.
Yeah.
I'm open to correction on that, but I don't think it is.
Maybe it might just be like a local thing. They can't sell it during the week or something.
I went to Odeon Blanche, not Spahn, but we're open to Spahn. Odeon Blanche's town. Had a great experience. Now I will say, kind of dry. I've been seeing all these TikTok clips of like children
dance parties.
I was worried it was going to be the other way because I've seen some bad videos as well of people like unhingedly screaming. Right, and I will preface this by saying I think Taylor Swift herself has been like, this is a concert movie, treat it as a concert, act like a concert. I totally get that. I'm not policing how other people act in areas, but like as someone, I was just like, there's a certain level I'll tolerate. And then I was seeing like other cute little videos on other people's you know, their own cinema experiences, and you're seeing like girls get up the front and like dance and like that's very cute, whatever, blah blah blah. So I was like, I didn't know what it was going to be like. We were sitting relatively close. We were in the IMAX screen, and we were like, there was one row in front of us. No, sorry, there's like four rows in front of us, but there was only like one row where people were sitting. Do you know what I mean? After that, it was like the seats that are too close to the screen, and you're like this, like craning your neck.
Yeah.
And I went with my friend Alison, we kept looking behind us to see if people were like getting up and dancing, and nobody was at any point. Yeah.
They were all waiting for you to do it.
But like we were so up close, we were never going, unless we like went and stood up in front of the screen, you know what I mean? Which I wasn't going to do either. Like if we stood up, we were going to actively block people's view, you know?
Yeah.
Two people got up during 22, and then for the duration of that song,
that's kind of sad,
I was like, oh, maybe we should stood up and support.
For that, of all the songs.
But I was acting. Now, I will say, it's kind of a strange experience because everything you're told about the cinema, it's like the exact, it's like, you know, I was singing initially and I was just kind of like, it's a cruise, it's good. Like, I was very, like, reserved. And then towards the end, I was just like, not, like, I'm singing. Because then I could kind of hear the girls next to me and I knew they were singing. I was like, right, okay, they don't think I'm absolutely insane. Perfect. And then I could see kind of others.
Everyone's probably just doing the same kind of side eye, like waiting for it all to kick off. Because if you're going to it, you're up for it.
Yeah. You would think, because there was a girl, I don't know, I think she must have either been bringing a daughter or going with a friend, because she was on her phone for the whole thing. And like was not singing any of the songs. Not very much she wanted to be there. Again, who am I to judge, right? Maybe she's a newfound Taylor Swift fan now, but
She was worth it.
I was like, okay, yes, 100%. So I will say, so obviously it's pretty much, there's no, because I was like, is this just a concert film or will there be like any behind the scenes, any of that? There's none of that. It is just a concert film. So if you're going for anything beyond that and you don't really like Taylor and you don't like the music, or like you don't like the music but you like Taylor or you're interested with the celebrity, you won't get anything out of this, right? But if you're in any way into the music, you will love it, I think. The entire first section is the Lover era. So obviously the whole tour was broken down into like eras of her albums. So it opens with Lover. That entire section I've seen pretty much entirely on TikTok. So when it started, I was kind of like, fuck, have I seen this all before? And I'm now just seeing it on a bigger screen and much louder. But the further in it got, like the intricacies of the staging for the other eras were so really genuinely impressive, especially like Folklore.
Is it 3 hours?
Evermore. It's under three. They had to cut. There's two songs they cut. I think they cut Invisible String and they cut Wildest Dreams and maybe another song.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Those are good ones.
I would have liked Wildest Dreams. Invisible String, I understand why they cut, because it's not very pacey.
I like it.
You know what I mean? I like it as well. I love it, but it's not pacey enough for the film.
It's like €19.89 a ticket. Is that like a thing across the world?
No, I don't think so. No,
$19.99 for an adult's ticket and it's $13.13 for a child's ticket. No popcorn or anything, just a ticket. €20.
Let me check what I paid.
I could literally pay to go to see someone somewhere else for €20.
I paid $49.78 for two tickets.
That's $19.89 twice, isn't it?
I don't think so, is it?
No, you probably got popcorn and stuff.
No, it was IMAX as well, so I think IMAX is more.
What? Let me divide that by two.
It's not $19.89 by two.
Okay.
How much did I just say it was? $49.78. $24.89 each. I love that Taylor Swift album. $24.89.
It was probably $19.89 plus a fiver for IMAX or something. Crazy.
Maybe. What is IMAX? Actually, I don't know. I kind of think I swizzed myself there. I think it sounds and looks better, apparently. But, I mean, how the fuck would I know? I have astigmatism. I do think it's very good. I've seen loads of people saying that they were kind of struggling towards the end, that they felt it was very long. I truly didn't feel it, but I can understand why people would, because it is long.
Yeah.
But there was at no point where I was like checking my watch being like, is this done? Are we nearly done?
Yeah.
You know, even when it got to Midnight, which an album that I do not love, and I don't think everything works with the staging of that. you see what I mean? Like Lavender Rain particularly. Again, not my favourite song, but like she does Midnight Rain. I was like, yes, I was living. And to see like the shots of the people in the crowd and like how much it means to them and how emotional they're getting, it got me in the throat a couple of times. Like I was nearly crying a couple of times. And like she does You're On Your Own Kid on the piano and like, like... I just want to see
the hype. Like, I want to see it. Like, I know the hype, but I want to see it from start to finish, like, as I would if I would ever, ever get my hands on a ticket.
Yeah. I need to go now more than anything, I think.
Oh. Maybe I should skip it because I thought, like, yeah, I really want to go. But anyway, I fucking... Do you know what I did, which is so silly? Before I started recording, I put a half a tin of kidney beans in my bin and now the whole kitchen stinks.
You,
the moon is mooning like, and things are happening.
The moon is mooning, yeah. Just on that though, the Eras Tour film is now the most successful concert film ever, I think. What did it beat?
High School Musical.
No, the concert
what
tour.
What did it be? Concert tour, concert tour.
Concert tour movie.
Justin Bieber.
No. The person's dead. Last hint.
Whitney?
No, Michael Jackson. This is it.
Oh,
this
yeah.
Is it?
I went to that.
Did you?
Yeah. The what cinema was that broke like? During it. I'm having a lot of moments where the cinema breaks on me. It was good. Like, it was before all the scandal and stuff, but at the time, like, Michael Jackson was in a little renaissance, like, posthumously.
Well, this was. He.
Wasn't he? Like, or he was just about to die?
He was about. No, he was about to
he
do
died
it.
During.
And died. He died, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I just remember it was a lot, like, Michael Jackson was, like, everywhere at the time. And, like, we were, like, big into it. And then, I thought the film was good. Did you ever get into maths?
No. What's going on there?
Like,
I watched an episode with my sister and when I was home in Cork, but I was only kind of half paying attention because I was actually deliriously ill, but...
did you have any observations?
I can't believe Nathan and your one.
Yeah,
Ella. Is that like I can't believe they're still
hanging in there.
Yeah,
yeah. It's
very frustrating. So, like, never have two people been posturing more for TV, in my opinion.
I can't believe
just because I haven't watched anything in between. I can't believe your man and your one that did the skiing honeymoon.
Oh yeah, Thomas and.
I can't believe they're in a good place now. Ross. I was like, how are ye not broken up? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, it's actually insane. The whole Ella and Nathaniel thing is like really crazy because they're like, oh yeah, we're just working on being friends first and then we'll see what happens. But like, there's actually, you can see he's just like dead behind the eyes. Like he shut down on the honeymoon and has never come back to life since. Like he's just gone. And now there's a new couple that has come in. And he's like, oh, the girls I normally go for like look more like Ella. And like, and she's just like, yeah, well, the guys I normally go for look more like him. And then on TikTok, they were saying that they end up shagging or whatever. I don't know if it's on the show or off the show or whatever. So I'm excited to see that come to a head. But it's good. It's a good season.
Good season.
Paul T. Brunson. I would die for Paul T. Brunson.
Who's this? He's one of the experts.
He's one of the experts. He's on Celebs Go Dating as well.
Yes, yeah.
He's just so American and like articulate. I just love him. He just has the like best energy. I just love him. What else have we been watching? Did you watch the rugby?
No, I did not.
Great, neither did I. Interesting. No, you go for it.
I was just going to say, not to sound like someone's mom, but like there is actively the winter vomiting bug is here, girls, and she's here to slay and she's slaying me. So just if you think you're getting it, I got chills initially and they were multiplying and I thought it was COVID and was like continuously testing.
Were you a little bit hungover or no?
No.
No. That's what I thought. I was like, oh God, it must have been a big night. But then,
no.
That's bad. It's bad when you can't even...
It was so bad. And then I got my period as well. So it was, I took call in sick for a load of things at work at the weekend. And it was, I had to get the train back from Cork to Dublin because I thought I was coming back for work. So I had it booked. And like, it was one of the worst train journeys I've ever had in my entire life. I was like Googling, when to go to A&E for stomach cramps.
Were you thrown up on the train the whole way?
Yeah.
Oh no, that is hell.
Yeah, and I was surrounded by some absolutely, like, just a gang of yuck bros, like, off to Index for the evening, and I was like, this is
hell.
On
your own?
I've seen it. Yeah.
Oh,
that was not good. Anyway, so girls, that's Fionnuala's winter health safety message for 2023.
How did the book launches go?
They were great. Please go get the book. I'm Grand Manuel. It's hilarious and actually one of the few self-help books that I believe is helpful. It's not really a self-help book. The lads are like, do not describe it as a self-help book.
It's a manual.
PJ's at my door now, belting it out, being like, do not call it a self-help book. Yeah, it's great. It's brilliant. And they went very, very well. Hen's Teeth in Dublin and then the Triskel in Cork. Sorry to any of the Cork girlies that I did not stay around to say hi to. As I said, I was ready to puke out my eyes. But, and the drag acts were really good as well. It was Viola Gavis in Dublin and it was Liam B in Cork. And they were brilliant. It was very, very good. A lot of fun.
Jumper
week.
Is fully on backwards, is it?
Yeah, I've just realised as well, it's kind of giving Amish. I put it on before going to bed because it was cold. It's getting so cold, girls. I think I hate winter.
Keane does not let you put on the heat neither. They've made that very clear.
No, there would be no heating going on. And we had like, we actually have a really bad bill before. Our last bill was like the highest we've gotten, but it wasn't like crazy bad. Not the ones that you'd be ringing into Joe Duffy about. So Keane was like, if you even, there's not a light to be turned on in this house. We were walking around in candlelight. And I was like, yes, sir.
Yeah. So our bill, we got like one of the highest bills ever as well in the summer. And I was like, the bill should not be this high at this time of year. And higher than it was like during the winter, like, which is crazy. So I rang them and they were like, yeah, you're not in a contract. Your contract ended 2 months ago. So you're just like on the higher rate now. And they were like, but we can knock it back down like fucking 30%. So they did.
Just reminded me, I need to wear out a contract as well. And I need to ring
the
provider. So I'm going to do this after.
Yeah, that's exactly why it's the highest ever. It's nothing to do with what you're doing or what you're using.
Speaking of someone who's probably paying the higher rate of electricity, Paul Mescal.
In the higher tax
bracket. What a guy. I feel bad because this is a man who's explicitly like, I don't like talking about my personal life and I don't feel like I have to offer anyone any information about myself beyond the work I do. And we're about to do, I was going to say a full podcast on him, but essentially half the podcast on him.
We did do the Normal People episode at the time when Normal People was all over everything. It was like mainly when people were on Liveline giving out about it.
Pandemic. What a time.
Yeah.
What a time.
If you want something in depth on Normal People, if you're doing a rewatch, we have one of those. You just have to go back and find it.
Have you rewatched Normal People?
No.
It's not Patreon, it's main feed.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know if I was as obsessed with it at the time as everyone else was. Like, I watched it and it was good, but then, like, that was it, you know?
I haven't rewatched it because I'm afraid of the person I'll become if I do, because I have friends I know who watch it and it's like not being funny, if one of the girls writes into the chat and is like, we're rewatching Normal People, it's like, we need to get over to the house now. And we need
to just cut bangs.
Exactly. It's the new equivalent of that. But yeah, by all accounts, still holds up, according to my depressed girlies in the group chat. But he's just kind of gone from, it's kind of nuts how, I don't want to say small he was, but he essentially, like, the definition of plucked from nowhere and is now 100% going to win an Oscar at some point, if not within the next 5 years. And he's a year younger than me, which means he's two years younger than you. He got an Oscar nom, but I mean, like, he's going to win one. He got an Oscar nomination for After Sun. Did you see After Sun?
No, I thought at the time people were talking about it and they were like, it's all bawling my eyes out or whatever. And I will say
thematically, probably not great for you right now in terms of emotions. but it is brilliant. It's so good. Yeah. It's just like,
I watched the trailer. I watched a couple of trailers while I was looking into them this morning. I am very excited for We All Strangers? That's not All Our Strangers. What is it? Oh my God, where are my notes?
Keep trying.
All of Us Strangers.
With Andrew Scott.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's going to be so
like, if you could be a third,
sad.
If you could be a third in any bedroom situation.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I love Paris this time of year, you know? Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Especially because I just started watching Fleabag and I'm like, Andrew Scott,
Yeah.
I'd love to eat you like a little sweet.
He's just perfect in everything.
Yeah. Truly. And Andrew Scott has the best chemistry with, you put him in a room with a...
anyone.
With a lamp. And yeah. I'll believe him and that lamp are going to fuck, like, you know?
Him and Sherlock, it was just like...
Oh, I never watched Sherlock.
It was like my Jack Sparrow era. He was just a bit bad and like creepy and I loved it.
Was this Sherlock the TV show or Sherlock the movie?
No, it's the Benedict Cumberbatch one.
Oh yes.
He was like the villain or something for a couple of seasons or something. Not the villain, but he was like a recurring bad guy. And he just had like this like evil little smirk and it was just so exciting.
So exciting.
That All of the Strangers thing, I looked it up. The whole premise of it seems really kind of weird and cool.
One of them's a ghost, no? Paul's a ghost.
No,
is that not it?
Well, if it is, it's a spoiler, but like, okay, here's the synopsis.
No, sorry. I have that actually completely the wrong way around. So read the synopsis and I will immediately correct myself.
Andrew Scott basically, I'll just read it as is. One night in his near empty tower block in contemporary London, Adam, who's played by Andrew Scott, has a chance encounter with a mysterious neighbour, Harry, who's played by Paul Mescal, which punctures the rhythm of his everyday life. As a relationship develops between them, Adam is preoccupied with memories of the past and finds himself drawn back to the suburban town where he grew up and the childhood home where his parents, Claire Foy and Jamie Bell, appear to be living just as they were on the day they died 30 years ago. So it's kind of like this fantasy back in time, like his parents are the same age they were.
The parents are the ghosts.
The parents are apparently ghosts. I don't really know. My whole thing
is they're kind of like nearly like hallucinations or he's just like reliving stuff.
Or he's like, jump back in time when he's shagging himself is what my brain went to.
Interesting. Okay, that's not anywhere near where my brain went, but that's an interesting thing.
But it's like such a cool premise, such a cool cast. I'm very
excited. He's picking very good projects. I don't think he's done anything yet that could be like categorized as an out and out flop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's done things that aren't, you know, they're not like commercial juggernauts or whatever. But like, I think he's been very good in what he's picked and his choices. Even that new thing that's coming out now with Saoirse Ronan, that Faux one. Have you heard anything about that?
No.
Again, it's like kind of dystopian. They're a married couple. Said sometime in the future, they live a kind of isolated life and this fella turns up on their door one day and kind of all hell breaks loose, essentially. Mm. That's also getting decent reviews. I haven't seen a 5-star review, but it's kind of like kind of 3s and 4s.
Once you're going with Saoirse Ronan, it's probably a safe bet. Like,
yeah. Isn't that so funny though that it's just like that we're all also collectively like foaming at the mouth because it's two Irish people. You know, like there's something like we are just so fucking weird. I wonder if is there any other nationality that's like that? Like,
no, definitely not.
You know what
because
I mean?
It's like it's inherent. It's like like my sister's doing driving lessons at the minute and like I had the same instructor and she used to drive around the town being like, that's your cousin, you know, like, you know, you're related to them this way. And it's like, we just love feeling connected to each other as Irish people in a way that I don't think is the same in other cultures necessarily.
Yeah.
You just love to be like, yeah, I know him, or I went to the girl talked with him. Was it someone, I don't know where the story came into my head, but someone told me that maybe it was a listener or maybe it was like some housemate or something I had, that they knew Paul, they were at Electric Picnic or something the year before before COVID or whatever, and Paul Mescal was asleep in their tent, but like they didn't know it was him. Like he, no, they didn't, not that he wasn't a famous person at the time, but like they went back to their tent and Paul Mescal was asleep in it. And then the year after, Normal People came out and it got huge, and they were like, that's the guy that was asleep in our tent, like at EP.
That is such a claim to fame.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? But like, definitely people are like, I was in the Gaeltacht with Paul Mescal. I was in drama school with Paul Mescal. Like,
but that's the thing. He was just like, say this about any Irish person, but he was just here playing Ga and like doing, he did loads of theatre beforehand, was the thing. I didn't realise he was in the debut of the premiere of Asking for It in 2018 at the Abbey in Dublin. And I don't know who he played, but like he was doing loads of bits before that. Like he was Gatsby in Great Gatsby. He was, you mentioned that other one there. What did you call it?
The Cripple of Inishman.
I actually don't know if he was in that. The Lieutenant of Inishmore, I think is what you mean.
Yeah.
2020, yeah. A Midsummer Night's Dream. Like loads and loads and loads and loads of theatre.
I think that's where his heart lies, really. Like, I think that's where he'll end up.
Yeah, because he's just after winning a Laurence Olivier Award for A Streetcar Named Desire. So there was they did that in London and he played Stanley. And that was supposed to be absolutely fucking class. Did not see himself. But it was Normal People that kind of shot him into space. And like, I don't know, it feels like he's done more than he has, you know what I mean? When you look at like the filmography, I was like, I actually haven't seen, it just feels like he was kind of everywhere, but I feel like that was just the pandemic and just Normal People. He actually hasn't,
and
I don't think he's reached, I don't think he's reached oversaturation point yet.
I don't think he'd have the same level of hype, or he would like now, or like even then, if the whole Phoebe thing hadn't happened. I think that really like kind of, I think it kind of strung it on for longer than it would have gone on. Like kept him in people's thoughts for longer than he probably would have been otherwise. That's not to say he wouldn't have done well anyway, but like it's just like he's more kind of talked about now.
Well, no, I think circles. I think it, from a celebrity perspective, obviously, yes. I think he would act and we would be interested because he's Irish, because he's very talented, and he would have gone on and still had all the success. But in terms of like celebrity and celebrity interest, it was the Phoebe thing that solidified it. Because again, he was just this like normal lad from Maynooth and he's a megastar and now he's going out with like, it would be incorrect to describe her as one of the biggest pop stars in the world, but like one of the big, like, and she's not up and coming either, but like she's probably heading to a point where she's probably about to hit a peak that we haven't seen yet, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She's big.
Like, she was big and she is getting bigger. Like she is just gradually climbing that hill. The story of how they got together tickles me greatly, and it is a pandemic love story, if you will. So like she, like all of us, watched Normal People and got horny and then tweeted about it. She said, finished Normal People, this is literally what happened, finished Normal People and now I'm sad and horny, oh wait. And then Paul replied and said, I'm officially dead, to which Phoebe replied, no, don't die, you're so talented, ha ha, which kills me. She's online. Do you know that meme of it's a guy and it's like a Snapchat photo and he's like clearly sending it to someone who's like, it's very, very funny. Anyway, I'll put it up on Instagram for if people don't know what I'm talking about, but anyway, that happens. Then they're both on separate covers of Wonderland magazine for the summer 2020 issue, and Wonderland are like, will the two of you do an Instagram live to talk about this, because that's all we were doing in 2020, obviously doing Instagram lives. So they're on Instagram Live, and you can still go watch this if you want to. And I went to watch it, and I actually couldn't watch past like 30 seconds because it felt
too flirty.
It felt so intimate. It felt like I was watching two naked people kiss, and it's two fully clothed people just like talking to each other and talking about the weather. Like it made me want to actually rip into my own skin. I felt like I was peeping through a keyhole, you know, like it was just beyond like, he looks so young here. He's so fresh. And I say he doesn't look fresh now, but he's so like
23
Hollywood
or something.
Unattainable 24. Now. But he's a year younger than me, which makes me want to eat my own hands. So he's whatever, he's whatever that age is in 2020. They're chatting away. That's fine. He's like, I love her album Punisher was actually just about to come out. So they're talking about that. They're talking about Normal People as well. Then she does an interview with NME, refers to Paul Mescal as being a cute boy, said he had followed her on Instagram, and she said she got a little pitter-patter in my heart when I saw that. She sent him Punisher before it was released. He's listening to it. They're loving it. Then enter Lemon Leaf Cafe in Kinsale. Cafe in Kinsale blows it all up. Summer 2020. Phoebe's like, I need the shag so badly. I need this man biblically. I'm going to get on a plane. I don't care if there's a pandemic. I'm getting on the plane and I'm going to the best place in the world, Cork. Who could blame her? And they go to Lemon Leaf Cafe together and get breakfast, right? And which would have all been fine except Lemon Leaf Cafe rumbled to them because they tweeted, fan-taz-tick-day. Thanks to @Mescal_Paul, he's not on social media anymore, but that's what he did used to be known as on social media, and @Phoebe_Bridgers for calling to our cafe this morning for breakfast. Such amazing, talented young people. #celebrities, #musical talent, #staycation 2020, #breakfast, #voiceofgeneration. Voice of our generation,
that's,
I should say.
That's like so Irish that it's like if you tried to have an affair in like the town next to yours, that's what the like owl ones would say. It'd be like,
the cafe's going to tweet about it.
Great to see you there now with that fella the other day, you know, outside the church. And like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I'm saying this in a nice, polite way, but like, I'm absolutely blowing the lid off something here.
Yeah, truly. So that kind of rumbles them, but there's still, it remains kind of, they're not really seen out and about because you can't be seen out and about because of COVID. He talks about her in an interview with GQ. He refers to her as his girlfriend, says she was a lifesaver during the COVID-19 lockdown. To have someone to lean on through such a mad, mad time has been invaluable. Really, I don't know where I'd be without her. Then they walk the red carpet together, their first red carpet. It's the LACMA Art and Film Gala in Los Angeles in 2021. And this is the one where he's in a tux and she's in this like cream-coloured lace blouse and red tartan skirt. And again, they're like so nervous, but it's so cute, so sweet, very flirty. And then we have My Roman Empire, the picture of the two of them on the ferry, where he's not looking at the camera, she's looking at the camera, and they're like, he's like kissing her head. He's wearing like the Prada jacket. Divine. Yeah. Divine. So that happens around the end of that year, I think. Then they're at the Met Gala 2022 together. Red carpets are like officially back. So technically they don't go together because Phoebe's going with the designer of the dress that she wore, Jonathan Simpka. But they pose together with photos. But they also pose with his Normal People co-star, Daisy Edgar Jones. He's in a load of her music videos. She writes a song called Sidelines, which ends up being in Conversation with Friends, which is another Sally Rooney adaptation. That's confirmed to me about them. All seems well, right? All seems well. And then there are rumours towards the end of last year that they had split up, which seemed to be kind of confirmed by Phoebe Bridgers' verse on SZA's song, Ghost of the Machine. Don't know if you've heard. Excellent song.
Were they not engaged at this point?
Well, that was never confirmed either. Wasn't it? So he had done... Yeah, he had done... I think it was a Guardian interview that said, I need to get this right. It was definitely a Guardian interview. And I think it was promoting God's Creatures, which was a movie in which his character is accused of sexual assault. And it's like his mom is trying to figure it out and decide who she believes and stuff like that. Again, haven't seen that, but heard decent reviews for that, but again, subject matter, I was like, that's just a bit heavy for me. He had done an interview with The Guardian, and I think there was some, the writer included it as an addendum or like in brackets that he had confirmed it in the interview, but then like retracted it or something. I don't know. I'm going to look it up here, but there were lots of rumors around this time that like her next album, so like she's released an album since as part of her super group Boy Genius, is it the album, the record, anyway, but she hasn't released an album between, but there was a rumor that like her next solo album was going to be called Paul.
Oh no, don't do that, girl.
Yeah, like, not,
that's like tattooing, you're getting his name tattooed on you, don't do that.
Yeah. I'm trying to find this here, so I think it was, yeah, he'd done an interview with The Guardian, and I think there was some line in it that seemed that he seemed to reference his fiance or whatever, but I think his publicist then came back and they were like, no, sorry, that was a misunderstanding.
So there's this whole thing as well. Like, I heard that he, now that they're broken up, is like going around telling people that they got married in secret.
Oh, okay. Where are you?
That was on Dumois, which is not factual, but like, I don't know.
But did they get, when they say that, is it like,
was there like a Taylor, like,
yeah, but okay, was there like a commitment, Terry? Because you can look that stuff up legally, like you can look up marriage.
Yeah, no, legally, you know? I don't think legally anything was ever filed, but like he seems to think that they were, apparently, allegedly, he was going around telling people that they were married in secret.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
But that SZA song, if he, like, okay, I'm personally choosing to believe that this is not about Paul because of the lyrics in this, because it's some of the meanest things you could personally ever say, in my opinion. So it's Ghost of the Machine, and her verse says, "You said all of my friends are on my payroll. You're not wrong, you're an asshole. Screaming at you in the Ludlow, I was yours for free." So people have interpreted that as like, that's what he said that to her, as in like, you have no friends, like they're all just people that work for you. Which I'm choosing
like,
not to believe.
I find it hard to believe that anyone else would say that. Like,
yeah, if it wasn't like a partner or something. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, she's with Bo Burnham now. A lot of speculation as to whether there was potentially a crossover there.
That's great. Like, you can't go from Paul Mescal to Bo Burnham.
I think it
has to be the other way around.
I think they're on the same line in terms of...
Was he not married?
He was with a woman for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah.
Laureen Scafaria. She directed Hustlers.
Yeah, it is.
Now, like, they never confirmed a split, like, so they could have been split up like way before this. But I think there's also a thing of, I don't know, pandemic relationships. There's a whole theory. Caitlin McBride, actually, she's a writer. She had this whole theory on her. Well, I think it was she'd seen it somewhere else as well, and people were writing about it. That like the reason why we're seeing this like influx of celebrity divorces as well is because of COVID. Like, people got together really quickly, and it like compressed, made people feel really intensely, and you think it's kind of a true experience, and then you get out of COVID and you're like, oh no, actually I think I hate you, lol. Which is really sad, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
What about him and Daisy? A lot of rumours about them, but I don't know if that's just like normal people fandom wanting to will stuff into existence.
Yeah, I can't find anything to like suggest that they actually ever were romantically involved.
No, I don't think so. I think they are
just besties, like, and they refer to each other as their best friends, and they hang out a lot, and they did that Fleabag Halloween costume where he was the sexy priest and she was Fleabag, like. But I think when you're like, go through Daisy's Instagram, he's just like one of a larger group, and there's like other Irish actors in the group, and there's like the girl from The Bear and stuff. Like, they have like a decent group of friends, and I think that's, he's just one of them, and like, people are just willing it to be.
Yeah.
When it's not. But I can't. There's a cat peeing in my garden. That's not my, I don't have a cat.
That's so good. Off.
He you just gotta go, you gotta go. Plant. Now he's like on Norris slide. Get out of here.
Yeah, I'd clean that slide.
Yeah.
Cat piss smells bad.
Putting its fucking pheromones on my garden. Get out of here.
Putting its dirty ass on your slide.
What was I saying? I think I can't see it like the way other people seem to see. Like, it's like, oh, they have to be together. They're meant to be together.
I just think it.
They just have like, it's, they have a shared experience that is like very hard for anyone else to relate to. And I think that's just like bonded them forever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And I think it's just this thing of fandom and shipdom and people wanting like co-stars to date in real life. So that it's like the characters. I don't know. Look, if they come out tomorrow and they're like, we're together, I'm going to be like thrilled for you.
But yeah, I don't see it.
I don't know.
Who
will he get with next? I think he's going to get with some normie. I actually think he found like the experience of going through the breakup like quite hard publicly. Like, he's, I don't know if I have the exact quote that he gave in the wake of them breaking up, but no, I don't have it to hand, but like, he said, he's like, oh yeah, I have it here. Mescal has said that the entitlement to the information that people expect angers him, and that private matters should never be commented on because it is indecent as well as unkind. which I think is absolutely fair. And I know that's contradictory, given that we've just done a podcast on it. We've just dissected his relationship to the Nth degree. But you know what I mean? He's going to get with some absolute normie now. We're never going to hear... We'll hear from him, but I think it was a wild experience. And yeah, one that he's learned from, maybe.
And Daisy has a... Daisy's going out now with Anya Taylor-Joy's ex-boyfriend, Ben Seed. He's like a photographer, so she's like not even available.
She's not even available anyway, guys. You know how I actually knew that they'd broken up, him and Phoebe?
Psychic.
He was on the Off Menu podcast. If you go back and listen to that, the episode he did of Off Menu. Morning. Yeah, where he... And this was around the time all of the rumours were swirling. He said there's some line where he's on about smoking and that he smokes when he's stressed or like when he's depressed, essentially.
Yes.
And I felt like that was pretty much him confirmed. He said he's been smoking loads lately. I was like, right.
Yeah, and he goes, read into that what you will or whatever he said. Yes. And they just kind of all laugh.
There's kind of like there's a direct kind of wink and a nod.
I literally listened to it like an hour ago. Yeah, no, you're right. And I wondered, but like I'm listening back, like I didn't know the timeline, but that makes sense now that if it was around that time. Yeah. Poor Polly.
What was I was going to say something else. Did you know his first ever Irish TV appearance was on 6 o'clock show?
Was it?
Yeah.
With you?
No, not with me. I wish. I think it was around, he was doing theatery bits and he had some Virgin TV show, I think, coming up. It was before we got the set done and all. So like, it would have been well before my time. I was on the show at this point, but I think I was only... contributing little bits and bobs, and it was like pre normal people, but like normal people was imminent, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it hadn't been released yet, but like we knew he was in it, and it was like,
that's coming.
So, that's a funny interview to watch back.
We need to talk about Nell, I think. I don't think you can briefly because didn't she like, hasn't she really blown up lately?
Yeah. The music does nothing for me, and I don't actually, but I say that, and it's probably not for me. It's actually probably definitely not for me, I would say. So I'm going to leave it at that. She does seem to be doing very well.
She does seem to be doing well, and good for her. What a talented family.
She's very, like, he's played with her before, and you've seen it in her videos and stuff like that. But she's been touring ever, and she's gotten a lot of big support slots.
Yeah, I really don't know anything. I don't know enough about it, but it just seems like her name keeps popping up and good for her.
She came out, like, she got to perform with Phoebe when they were together, like.
That's crazy. Imagine your sister-in-law being Phoebe Bridgers.
And you're like, she can't anymore.
Yeah.
R.I.P. to that dream. What's he going to do next? Well, he's in Gladiator 2, which I'm personally not that excited about, but... I mean, I will probably go see it.
Like. It does have an insane cast, doesn't it?
Oh, actually, I wanted to ask you about this. Yeah, so sorry. Gladiator 2, I think, is due out next year. But with the actor's strike, not really sure what's going on there, to be honest. That's a Ridley Scott sequel, obviously, to the original. He's also the lead... He replaced Blake Jenner in the lead role of the film adaptation of Merrily We Roll Along. Do you know that musical?
I've heard of it, but I wouldn't know any. It's like old, old, old.
Yeah, it's a 1981 musical, and it's said to be filmed over 20 years.
Blake Jenner, that was in Glee.
Yeah, because he was
a bad man.
Violence and stuff like that.
Bad man.
Yeah.
I knew that name. I couldn't put it, but yeah. I'd love to see him do a little music. Is this a movie adaptation?
It's a movie adaptation because I know it's on Broadway at the minute with Daniel Radcliffe, Jonathan Groff, and a woman who I don't know. That's bad, isn't it?
If Jonathan Groff has anything to do with it, I'm in.
From what I've seen, the reviews of that are very good as someone who knows nothing about musicals and would probably never see it.
It's not that old, but I have heard of it. No, it is. It's 1981.
Yeah, that's
Stephen
old,
Sondheim, like. Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe, Jonathan Groff, and Lindsay Mendez. Filmed over 20 years? That's going to be nuts.
It's going to be filmed over 20 years.
Filmed over 20 years, yeah.
It has been filmed over 20 years. Or it will
be. No, it is going to be filmed over 20 years.
Oh, so we won't see that for a long time.
No.
Oh, that's crazy.
crazy. It's like
a crazy project to get your hands on.
Yeah, which I think is very interesting. I can't see him doing, like, we won't see him. No, I could be totally wrong on this, because, like, Barry Keoghan's obviously doing the superhero thing, whatever. I can't see him doing, like, a Marvel or a franchise thing until he maybe starts having kids or something, because that's what all the men do. Like, they have kids, and then they're like, right, I need to support my family. How do I support that? Take out the fattest check Marvel will give me to put on knickers and tights, you know?
Yeah, I can't see that for him. He doesn't really have the... Well, maybe, like, I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't have said Barry Keoghan would go for it either, but it just doesn't seem like his style right now. I think I could see him, like, taking up a residency on the West End or something in some sort of, like, one-man show. Kind of like Daniel Radcliffe, you know? Just, like, let's focus on theatre for a while.
Mm.
I think that'll be his, like, steady paycheck when he comes to one, needing one.
There you go. We'll see.
That's Paul Mescal. Who's he going to date next? Not that it matters.
Some normie. I'm telling you right now. Like,
he's had his fill.
Maybe he'll date someone famous, but like not Phoebe Bridgers level famous. Or like someone within the industry, like someone within art, but not.
Yeah.
Like I could see it very much being, you know, Tom Hiddleston and Zoe Ashton.
Yeah.
Like that kind of a couple. Like, as in, this is going to sound really disrespectful to Zoe, and I don't actually mean it because I think she's like an incredible actor, and Fresh Meat is one of the best shows ever, and I'm due a rewatch of it. But like he, well, actually, I don't think this is unfair to say. He's more famous than she is. But like, yeah, they both are into theatre, and that's how they met and like started working together. I could see that kind of happening, and them just being like really, really private. You know, I'm just kind of doing that. Yeah. He's not going to be Pete Davidson, like, and I don't mean that in a disparaging way, but
it's not.
You can even tell the way he's responding in interviews to it now, where he's just like, no,
sad.
And maybe I could be totally wrong. Maybe we'll leave it a few years, and he gets with someone else of this that kind of stature again, and he's like perfect, brilliant.
Yeah. Well, only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
Only time will Paul.
We're over on Patreon. If you want to come over there and get some bonus episodes, it's patreon.com/bandwagons. You can get the audio only of those bonus episodes in Apple Podcasts. You can just subscribe in feed for the audio only. Don't get any other benefits, just the audio. Last week, myself and Carla Kay watched the Beckham docuseries, and we talked about it and we got into it, what we thought was like true and not true, and what we thought was good and not good. And yeah, I suppose otherwise, we're back next week over there, business as usual, yeah? Oh!
This, I will put an official call out on the Instagram, one of us will, but it's spooky season and we want your spooky, spooky stories. We did this 2 years ago, maybe three?
Yeah.
Where we got your scary stories and they were really scary and we really enjoyed it and we'd like to do that again. So get them into us, email us, DM us, whatever. Ideally, email us at bandwagonspodcast@gmail.com and we will read those out. Do we have any hats, Fionnuala?
Yes, we do. So we'll have a few hats.
You could win a hat
for stories. Yeah.
Yeah. So please, and we will put a little reminder on the Instagram this week to get those in as well.
Strong. Can't wait. Can't wait to be spooked.
That's all, I think.
Right. Till next week. Till next Goodbye. Wednesday, because we're now out on Wednesdays. Love ya. Bandwagons Wednesdays. Wagons Wednesdays.
Band Wednesdays.
Band Wednesdays. Bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The secret to visibly firmer, summer-ready skin is here. Osea's number one best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and transform dull, dry skin to silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Rich yet never greasy, Andaria Algae Body Oil is formulated with sustainably sourced seaweed to help replenish the skin's moisture barrier and 7 nourishing active botanical oils for results you can see and feel all over. The best part? Its signature scent. A blend of freshly squeezed grapefruit, cypress, and mango mandarin transports you to sun-kissed summer days. This all-natural scent is unforgettable. Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code GLOW.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.